Now, let's look here in Genesis chapter 17, and let's look beyond where we stopped last Wednesday night at verse number 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abram fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 99 years old bear? And Abram said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me be a blessing. Could be somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ as Savior. Might tonight be that night one comes to a saving knowledge of the truth. And Lord, there could be Christians who've gone astray. Tonight could be the night they start head back home. Thank you, Lord, that you are God who has compassion that will run to meet us. So God, give us a direction toward you that will draw us closer as we look forward to your soon return. Bless the preaching in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Here in Genesis chapter number 17, we began last week dealing with the subject names matter. Names matter. I often chuckle sometimes as you listen to some of the names that people come up with, and to each his own, for what name a person wants to name his child or name her child. I can remember when it was time to decide on a name, us discussing several different names and coming to an agreement. And always one person brings up one and the other one doesn't like it. Another one brings up another one and the other one doesn't like it. But it's always good when you can find one that you both like. Amen. A lot of times when you're bringing up names to name your children, you look up the meaning of those names. And you want to not just necessarily come up with a name, but what does that name mean? What does that name represent? For example, the name Kenneth means handsome. And I'm sure that my parents did a lot of praying about that, and God gave them discernment. But anyway, we always come up with these names. It really does mean that. But we come up with these names, and we often look at meanings because names are associated with their meanings. But in the Bible times, that sentiment was more significant than even it is today, especially when the parents didn't select the name, but God selected the name. And so when we look in Genesis chapter 17, we're not just looking at two people coming together and picking something that comes to their pleasure, but we are moreover looking at God making some choices, God giving some direction about individuals as it pertained to their name, because God was saying names matter. They matter because they have a meaning. They have a meaning because they come from a God that gives a message, and that message should manifest itself to others. And so we have names. By the way, there were times in where human beings named their children a certain way, and it was a negative connotation. And God came in and said, despite what your human parents may have named you, your heavenly parent will do something better in your life. Jabez was named, that name means miserable or painful one, one who brings sorrow to another. But Jabez said, they may have thought that about me, but God is bigger than my prediction. Now here in Genesis 17, God is giving us several names and showing us that in each individual case in Genesis 17, the name given, the meaning associated, matters. Name number one was God's name in this chapter. How many of you know God's name matters? Amen. Somebody say amen to that. God's name matters. By the way, I didn't plan to say this, but God's name does matter, and there are some people that call God a name that's not his name, and that's not God. Amen. We're talking about Jehovah. We're not talking about Allah or some supreme being. God's name matters. When you call God by his own name, that separates him from all of the contenders and the pretenders. Amen. Here in Genesis chapter 17, he gives a new name. He's not a new God, but a new name, a new characterization. And the reason why he gives this name to Abram in Genesis chapter 17 is because it mattered to Abram. God had already identified himself to Abram before, but here in Genesis 17, he gives Abram a new name for himself, and that is the Almighty God, El Shaddai. So name number one that matters is the name of the eternal sovereign. God's name matters here. Why? The circumstantial reality was Abram was wanting a child, getting up in age. The critical revelation is God says, I'll tell you how you're going to get that child. God Almighty will do it. By the way, if you're facing a deep trial in your life tonight, you need to realize that God's not just Elohim. He's not just Jehovah, but he is El Shaddai. He's God Almighty. It literally means your sustainer. He means he's enough. Amen. Aren't you glad he's enough? He's enough. Notice, if you would, he gave him a covenant reminder that covenant that he had promised would be fulfilled. Amen. He gave him a committed reciprocity, if you would, and that was, I'm doing my part, but Abram, you must do your part. Walk before me and be thou perfect. God said, if I'm holding up my end in sovereignty, you hold up your end in service. And the communing response is that Abram fell on his face. So names matter. Name number one, the eternal sovereign. Name number two, the elevated servant. So God's name is revealed here in Genesis 17. But to Abram, God reveals a new name for him. Abram would become an elevated servant. His name would shift from Abram to Abraham. Notice now that God is saying to him, I'm changing your name. Look at verse number four. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. God makes a powerful statement. As for me, watch this now. This is very personal. Abram, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to do something for you. By the way, whenever your focus gets off of God, you start going down, because people fail you. Amen. Friends fail you. Sometimes family fails you. But when you get up in the morning, realize you can go somewhere in life because God will never fail you. So he says, before I change your name, let me tell you, as for me, this is a very powerful or a personal statement, Abram. I'm going to do this for you. Amen. Don't you start worrying about what people say you're not, or where they say you can't go, or what they say you can't do. Your hope is in God. Personal statement, as for me. Now notice, if you said thou should be the father of many nations, he gave him, if you would, a very prophetic status. Thou be the father of many nations. He gave him a powerful shift. Your name shall be Abraham. I talked about that, the essence of having to breathe when you say Abraham. And it reminds us of when God changes our name, he puts his breath on us, his grace on us, his support for us. Hey, listen to me. It's hard to get depressed when you realize God's on your side. Abraham, that's a powerful shift. A prosperous supply, if you would, a father of many nations. Of course, Abram meant high father. Abraham means father of multitudes. I will make thee exceeding fruitful. That's prosperity. Amen. Notice there's a perpetual status, if you would. I'll establish a covenant between me and thee and the seed and after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant. Notice the possessed settlement. I'll not only give you a covenant, but I'll give you a land. I'm going to give you Canaan. Hey, listen to me. When you look at the story of Abraham and the blessings that God gave to those that came before us, we understand that God is a blessing God. God is a prospering God. God don't want you miserable. Hear me now. If you're miserable, it ain't because God wants you that way. God does not want you miserable. I know a lot of miserable Christians. They can't blame God. Amen. It's all about focus. what you concentrate on. You can get mad about everything if you think about it long enough. But you can't look at God and stay mad. He's a blessing God. Amen. And so he gives him, if you would, a possessed settlement. And then the particular sign we talked about last week, the circumcision, the method of circumcision. We talked about, if you would, the meaning of circumcision, the mandate of circumcision, and of course, the males of circumcision. And he tells him, what I want to happen, I want it to be done as a separation of you from other nations. I want it to be done in a certain way where there is a cutting away of flesh. I want it to be done to show the world that you are a special people purchased by Almighty God. And I want it to be done to the males as a illustration of the leadership in the home and the leadership in the land. He said, God said, I want what I do for you to be on the inside, but I want it to show on the outside. That's often where Christian people put too little emphasis. And sometimes people can put too much emphasis on the outside, not the inside. But God said, I want both. Amen. And by the way, if you get right on the inside, it will show up on the outside. Praise the Lord. So there was a sign. It was circumcision. Of course, last week we spoke about those of us that are saved, that there is a wonderful blessing for those of us that are saved with the spiritual circumcision. We find that mentioned in the Word of God in Colossians and in Corinthians and in Ephesians, if you would, and in Romans, rather. Romans chapter 8, verse 9, verse 16. Colossians 2, verses 9 through 16, spiritual circumcision. Ephesians 1, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. So we understand for those of us that are saved, we're not functioning under the law of the Jews where the circumcision was an outward sign, but we understand that we are saved today. We are the spiritual seed of Abraham, and we have received a spiritual circumcision. God did not cut away our physical flesh, but he did cut away our sins. Amen. And by the way, there was only one surgeon that could remove your sin, and that was the Holy Ghost of God. And Ephesians said when he came in, he sealed you with the Holy Spirit of promise. You say, what's my spiritual sign that I'm saved? It's not tongue talking. It is the indwelling of the Holy Ghost of God. That's Bible. You're sealed. The Bible tells us he's the earnest. Amen. Literally means he's the down payment. So when God saved you, he left a down payment inside of you called the Holy Spirit of God. That down payment is your assurance that he's coming back one day to pay the whole bill in our full redemption. Amen. I know I'm saved because I got the Holy Ghost of God bearing witness inside of me. And when he takes me out of here, he's going to take the Holy Ghost out of here. And by the way, that's why the Antichrist can rule and reign and Satan can do his thing. I'm glad that the tribulation can't happen while I'm here because the Holy Ghost is here. And there's no way the devil can sit on the throne while the Holy Ghost of God is here. The world's going to get crazy when God gets out of here. And God's going to get out of here. And I'm going to, because the God that's getting out of here is inside of me. Amen. Praise his holy name. And so we have a sign in us, spiritual circumcision. And that was, of course, demonstrated in God's witness to his man, Abraham, changing his name from Abram. Number three, there's a third name that matters in this passage. The eternal sovereign's name, the elevated servant's name. Number three, the equipped spouse's name. Now God's going to say something about Sarai. By the way, whenever God calls a man to something, he's calling his wife to something too. If he's married. Amen. There are many men who couldn't go as far as God wanted them to if their wife wasn't going with them. Amen. And so God is leading Abram here as an elevated servant. But guess what he says? As an elevated servant, I'm going to equip your spouse. Now watch this now. He was going to be the father of many nations. But it doesn't take rocket science to understand that if a man's going to be a father, the child going to have a mother. Somebody say amen. And God wasn't interested in doing spiritual things through the father with a carnal mother. Amen. That's why it's important for marriages to be on the same page. Amen. So we're talking about the equipped spouse. And there was an element of spirituality that Sarah had to embrace. Sarai, whose name is going to turn to Sarah. But we often talk about it. And by the way, we don't spend a ton of time in our Bibles talking about Sarah or Sarai. We don't spend a bunch of time in that way discussing that. But we do understand, according to Hebrews chapter number 11, that Sarah believed God and she had faith in God. And we understand that God honored her faith in him by blessing her. Listen to me now. There may be a man preaching and a man leading and a man planning a church and a man called of God to preach, but there is a blessing and there is a role and there is a sanctification for that wife that stands behind that man where they work together as a team to do what God's called them to do. May this be a challenge to every wife in the building. Don't stand before the judgment seat of Christ finding out you slowed your husband down. God was equipping her. Now look at this passage of scripture. How's he going to do that for Sarai? Here's what he's going to say in this passage of scripture. As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. There's great speculation of what Sarai meant, but we know what Sarah means. It means princess. And God said, I'm going to change her name. I'm going to give her a regal position. Amen. Wait a minute now. There was a day when the two of them were down in the Ur of the Chaldees coming from an idolatrous pagan land. Amen. But God has brought them so far, not just to get them out that land, but to take them to another land. Amen. Wait a minute. Don't miss this. God doesn't just bring you out. Amen. The purpose of God to bring you out is to eventually bring you in. Amen. So he's bringing you out of somewhere, but he's also bringing you into somewhere. And the problem with the average Christian is they're stuck somewhere in between. I'm out of Ur, but I'm not into Canaan. Somewhere along the line, the child of God that got redeemed from the slave market of sin stalled on the way to Canaan. Now your spiritual home is secure. You're going to heaven if you say, no matter what you do. That's Bible. Amen. You say that's not logical. If it was logical, it wouldn't be supernatural. I hear people say all the time, well, it doesn't make sense that you can sin and not lose your salvation. It doesn't make sense you could get saved, period. It doesn't make sense that you could be born in sin and somehow get born again into the family of God. Fooey, if you're trying to make sense out of the spiritual life. I hear people say all the time, I can't accomplish great things for God. I can't preach. I can't sing. I can't be in that ministry. That's too much bigger than me. What are you talking about? Getting saved is too much bigger than you. That's why you're saved by grace. It's too late to start saying it's too hard to live the Christian life. The whole thing is too hard. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God took her from nothing and took her to something, and in between there, she could not stall. So I'm going to change her name from Sarai to Sarah. I'm going to give her a regal position. I'm going to put your wife in the palace. Not literally, but she's going to be regal. By the way, when God saves you, he gave you a regal position too. Bible said we're kings and priests. Come on now. I said we're a royal priesthood. We're a royal generation. Amen. 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 I mean, if you're a king, stop acting like you're a pauper. Amen. We're kings. I said we're rich. The unsearchable riches of God's grace. Every Christian is spiritually rich. Amen. Now, if you're not claiming it, it's not God's fault. He did deposit it into your life. Start living like it. Start acting like it. As Pastor Mike said a few moments ago, start worshiping like it. There's a regal position. There's a reproductive phenomenon. Now look at what he says. Not only am I going to change her name from Sarai to Sarah, I'm going to give thee a son also of her. Don't overread scripture. Because if Abram's really adding things up logically, he's already got a son. But God said, let me make sure you don't miss what I'm saying. I'm going to give you a son of her. Amen. That's where your child's going to come from. You say, what's the big deal, Pastor? I said, that's a reproductive phenomenon. Amen. How many? She's almost 90 years old. And if she's going to have a child, that's a phenomenon. Come on, ladies, say amen. Like, you know a lot of 90-year-olds that had children. This is a miracle. This is a miracle. And God's going to do it. God's going to do it. Watch this now. She's almost 90 years old and doesn't have a child. It was not complimentary of a woman to be barren. Amen. I mean, you look at one of the patriarchs, the wife, I believe it was Rachel, said to Jacob, give me children, else I die. I mean, she was desperate for reproduction. And by the way, those of us that are saved ought to be desperate to reproduce fruit in our lives. It ought not be fine for us to be saved and not spiritually productive. Amen. We should not want to have days in our life with the Lord where there's nothing coming out of us. And so here's what he says. I'm going to give her a reproductive phenomenon. She's going to have a child. Well, time's running away. Let me give you a couple more thoughts. She's going to have a rearing privilege. I'm going to give a child to her. But notice what the scripture also said. I will bless her and give thee a son of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother. Come on now. I mean, rearing is a privilege. I said, rearing is a privilege. Now, there's a pain to having children, but the privilege outweighs the pain. Now, we say this because we're living in a society, and I might as well just close down the message. But we're living in a society where children are too often associated with being pains and burdens instead of being privileges. See, here's what's happened in America. We've gotten so commercial and so material and so intent on profit and gain that we start associating the value of a child with whether it puts the economy up and whether it puts you in a better material position. And by the way, that's why there are so many bad parents in the world. Amen. Nobody's a perfect parent. But I'm talking about parents that don't even love their kids and abandon their kids. Come on now. And treat their kids like they're worthless, or abuse their kids, or violate their kids. That's a bad parent. Now listen what he said to this 90-year-old woman. I'm going to bless you. And here's how I'm going to bless you. I'm not only going to change your name, but I'm going to let you be a mother. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. Let me give you this thought before we go home tonight. When a child comes into the world, he comes into the world by going through the womb of a mother. Amen. And Psalm 139 tells us that the orchestration of that process is handled entirely by Almighty God. Look at Psalm 139 and hear what David said. My substance was not hid from thee when I was curiously wrought in secret in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my members, yet being unperfect, they were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. You understand that the limbs you have, come on now, that the members that you have, that the senses that you have, that there was a day when you were nothing but substance, and the fact that you're sitting here as an individual tonight means that God orchestrated. Listen to me now, when you didn't have a mom or a daddy that could hold your hand and make sure you crossed the street, and you didn't have a teacher that could teach you how to read, how to count, and you didn't have a mother that could nurse you and give you milk that you should grow, when there was no human being that could make sure you kept on going, God himself took control over your developmental process, and in that womb was a special sanctuary guided and protected by Almighty God. Thank God that God established a little holy of holies in the womb. Here's what's happened in America. We've taken that womb and made it a tomb. And we've taken that great holy of holies and made it a Holocaust. Because the privilege of being a mother has been overlooked. So now in America, nearly 4,000 a day are aborted. 4,000. Say, Pastor, I thought you said you weren't one of those pastors that preaches political issues. I'm not. I'm preaching on abortion. That's a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual issue. And by the way, when you're a child of God, what they do legally shouldn't even matter to you, because you don't get your direction from the legal system anyway. Amen. A lot of Christians start really getting really, really scared and like, oh my goodness, they legalized something. And next thing you know, they legalize this and legalize. What that got to do with you do? They can legalize everything. I mean, alcohol been legal for a while. That mean you drink? Amen. So you just do right. I see some of these pastors that just, I mean, that they just start like they're going to pass. I don't know what we're going to do. Look at what's going on in political office and what happened. And then they're about to get depressed. Don't nothing change nothing about my preaching. Said the book didn't change. Well, the Constitution, well, thank God for the Constitution, but there wouldn't be a Constitution if there wasn't a Bible-tution. Amen. Amen. And those men that signed it got a conscience from the Bible. Amen. And then when we start valuing life, we won't make the womb a tomb, and we won't make the Holy of Holies a Holocaust. We'll understand that there's something miraculous. There's something divine. There's something that came across God's desk in heaven every time a child is born. Sarai, you're going to become Sarah. I'm going to let you be a mama. And don't you ever supersede any status above that one. Because being God's vessel to populate his earth is a privilege. Our Father, thank you. We look at this story and we think about what you've taught us and shown us. And we see a name change here. I pray that nobody in the building will let the world define spiritual matters. And I pray that none of us as Christians will live in the past, when God is not a God of past. He's a God of power that's trying to work something out for the future. Sarai, leave your old name and take on the new name. It's time to be different. And may you help us all, for Christ's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand.